At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today on the Dynasty Roundtable podcast, we are talking about one of the most important positions in all of fantasy football, especially, well, only if you're playing in a super flex league. If you're in a one quarterback league, not as important, but today it's all about the quarterbacks. And the quarterback, in my opinion, should be emphasized because it's the most important position, you could argue, in professional sports. And I think it should be relatively important to us in fantasy football. But today, top 30 quarterbacks, rankings and tiers. We're going to break it down for you. We're going to talk the position a little bit too, like our strategy when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, acquiring quarterbacks. We'll cover it all for you. Mr. Babich, though, how are you doing this fine evening as we're recording here at around 06 Central?
I'm doing great. I've had, you know, some of the first genuine thought. We see fantasy football content all year, but there's truly a season change within us all. And that's the first time, you know, unprompted, you're not listening to fantasy football content. You're not watching football. You're not watching sports. But that thought just pops into your head of, man, I can't wait for football. Like we think about it all the time when we're consuming football content, but it gets to right around June where you start planning your home league redraft, you know, get that draft date ready. Your rookie drafts have, you know, concluded, some may be continuing to go, and you're just walking out in the sunshine. You think, man, there's going to be football on soon. And it's a great feeling. I just had that for the first time about a week and a half ago. I want to get redraft mocks going. I want to get dynasty mocks going. I want to get another startup draft going. But first, we're going to talk some quarterbacks.
Yeah, and be tuned into the show because some of those opportunities might be popping up. I know for sure we're going to be doing some dynasty startup mocks here very soon. Those are a part of the plans. We haven't talked about doing another startup. We're in our rookie draft right now. In the Dynasty Roundtable in round three. And if Cody is watching this, well, it's going to be too late. Cody Carpentier is on the clock right now at the 302. I'm sitting at the 306. I feel like I've done pretty well. I traded up to get Travis Hunter.
And I liked that trade. I can't remember it off the top of my head for the viewers. So it's just going to be the secret between you and me, I suppose. But I did really like that move going up. Anytime you're getting Travis Hunter, it just feels so good. Doesn't it? Doesn't it feel so good? Back in November, we were talking about how, you know, he's basically our 101, 102 with Ashton Jeanty. And the entire time, we said receiver, receiver, receiver. If you follow Coach Speak Index, you may have seen a tweet that suggested that initially Travis Hunter is probably going to start with some third down packages on defense. Seth, I don't get to do this very often, but I do believe in around November, December, I said exactly that if I were an NFL GM, that is how I would want to deploy Travis Hunter. Day one, full-time offense, third down packages on defense. And that seems to be coming to fruition. So once in a while, Seth, I have a good idea.
Every once in a while. I mean, we do some things right on this show. And I'll say this, And I believe, like, we've been very, very pro Travis Hunter on this show. The upside alone is unbelievable if you think about it. Underdog, I remember before the draft, he was going in the hundreds when I was doing some of these best ball, and I couldn't believe it. He was going literally post-pick 100, if I remember right. I'd have to go look at the ADP just to be sure. But now you want to guess what his ADP is on Underdog? Not that this is a redraft show, but this is
47.
44.
I was really close. I have not done a single Underdog draft this offseason yet. So I had truly no idea. Yeah. It feels to me, honestly, that the BBM 5 winner might be a pre-ADP shift Travis Hunter team. It feels like you're already so far behind the eight ball getting competing with Travis Hunter lineups that are 60 picks past ADP. Like, I'm not a best ball guy, but it almost seems like you got to avoid him, because if Travis Hunter is the nuts, then you're screwed if you're getting your first shares now versus 3 months ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah, I think the BBM opens after the draft. So it'd be interesting, because it says here, not that this is some kind of best ball show, or we're not. I'm still in training to be a best ball bro. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it says here on April 29th, his ADP was 50.7 and now it's 44.1. So anyway, so it hasn't gone up too much. It corrected by the NFL drafts, or post NFL draft, but before the NFL draft, like for us sickos doing drafts,
big board, right?
Yeah.
So, well, big board season, he was going pick 100.
Yeah,
got it. Okay,
yeah. ish, like 90s, 100, somewhere in there, because everybody was so scared that he was going to play defense, and yeah,
it's a weird looks
like
time.
He's going to play some wide receiver with Trevor Lawrence. And speaking of Trevor Lawrence, let's get into the quarterback discussion, because Travis Hunter doesn't play quarterback, and I can see the YouTube comments already. These guys, they 6 minutes into the episode, they haven't even talked about quarterbacks. Well, we're getting there. All right, we're talking about quarterbacks now. I do want to ask you, before we jump into these quarterback waters, what is your preferred, like, what's your preferred strategy when it comes to the quarterback? Like, obviously, if you're in the top five picks, it's in a super flex startup, it's pretty much, you know what's going to happen. There's no mystery. It's Lamar, it's Jaden Daniels, it's Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. Those are the top four picks in just about every startup that I've seen recently. But if what is your ideal strategy? Like, are you willing to trade up to go get one of those elite guys? Are you, if you miss out on one of those guys, are you willing to wait? Like, what are you doing?
So first off, before I get into that, shout out to the YouTube commenter on our wide receiver rankings. He commented on our top 36 wide receiver rankings, said should be top 50, but thanks for 36.
Yeah, so I saw that one.
Shout out to that guy. Thank you for watching.
And I was like, we'll do top 50. We could do top 50 next time. I don't think that would be too crazy.
Take us forever to get through top 50, but
it'd be like a 2-hour show. But yeah.
If you caught our startup strategy video, if you hadn't, go check it out on the channel. But we talk heavy about value and accruing value more than anything. I've made the mistake before of thinking it's worth it to trade up and get into that elite tier of quarterback in a super flex league. The fact of the matter is, I think I would rather be on the opposite end of that. And say if I'm at pick 4 in a super flex draft, you have Allen, Daniels, Jackson go back to back to back. I'm sitting there, and if someone wants to trade up from 8 or 9 up to 4 to get a Jalen Hurts, I'm absolutely game to hear offers, because you could still then get, you know, maybe a Drake May on the come around, or even a devalued Kyler Murray, and get a kind of Konami. There's so much value here in the quarterbacks that it just doesn't seem worth it to me to reach or especially to trade up for some of those guys. And in quarterback in general, I feel like it's kind of like tight end. If you're not getting the top end, it's okay to wait and pile up on a Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy combo, or a Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott combo And then maybe drafting like a Jackson Dart later or something like that. Even the Tua, like with his value later on, if you want to go for a more win now build or a more competitive build short term. There are so many options once you get later that the, and when we look, the difference between, you know, the high end QB2 and these low end QB2s really isn't that different. And it kind of comes down to weekly volatility. And guys like a Dak Prescott, a Kyler Murray, a Tua Tagovailoa have immense weekly upside. We've seen all of these quarterbacks finish as a top 12 quarterback in recent history. And yet their value, you know, Kyler is close to a top 12 quarterback, but, you know, Dak, Tua, way down there in terms of their rankings. So I kind of tend to go maybe towards a more zero QB build. If anything, I'm a hero QB. I'm down to get my top 12 guy in the first two rounds and then build my lineup around that. It is a very important position in Superflex. And it's when we talk about positional advantages, you get such a big advantage by having those quarterbacks with 30, 40 point weeks that it does, in a way, feel irresponsible to purposefully go into a draft without getting any of those. But at the end of the day, it's all about value and where you're drafting and what you can do around that. So
yeah,
you have a lot of options. I'm generally not going to trade up. I'm just going to play the board and build what I can build and accrue value like we've been kind of saying.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I am, you know, if I am one of the lucky people to get a top four pick, and this is an argument for an auction startup, by the way, mm-hmm. the auction startup is the most fair way to do it because everybody starts out with the same amount of blind bid dollars or whatever you want to call them. The lucky four people that are in the top four, they, I think, have somewhat of an advantage. Now, obviously, there are however many other picks that you're going to make. And obviously, if you're doing third round reversal, that kind of evens it out a little bit, which I think if you are doing a snake draft, it should be third round reversal. But let me know what you think of in the comments. Let me know what your preferred startup, you know, settings are in the comments. I think it's, I think you have to put one of those picks on the block to just see what somebody's willing to give you. I think at the very least, even if you are 95% or 99% locked into one of those quarterbacks, and I do not blame you for that, I think you have to just test the waters to make sure that there's not some crazy person out there. Like the days of maybe getting three first round picks or maybe getting, like, I've seen some crazy trades in a startup. I've seen somebody get the second, third, fourth, and future first round pick, like the second, third, and fourth startup pick, round startup pick.
Oh, wow.
And a future. Yeah, it's, I've seen some crazy shit like that. Those days are gone. I feel like people are a lot smarter and a lot more savvy than they used to be. So you might have to engage some people. You might have to go back and forth. You might have to say no. You might have to draw a line. This is what this pick is worth. I know, because obviously you know what you're getting. But I agree with you. And when we get into these quarterback rankings, it's going to be so interesting because I think that while I do like it, it's two things going on at once. It's one, if you draft like a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes, you know exactly what you're getting. There is some upside there, but there's not as much rushing upside as one of the elite options, which is why they're in a lower tier for us. But at the same time, while they may not be as productive, you know their value's probably not going to go down. Whereas the production with another quarterback further on down the list might be similar, maybe in the short term, but there's more volatility as to, like, you know, are they going to play long term for the team that they're on? Justin Fields, you know, like, you might get a similar production from a Justin Fields, but he might not be with the Jets for long. You know what I mean? So those kinds of conversations are fascinating to me. And I'm probably more in line with, if I don't get one of the elite options, the longer I live, yes, I don't want to miss out on quarterbacks, but I'm willing to push it a little bit. You know, I will, you know, I won't play it safe and take a CJ Stroud, although that is banking value. It all depends on what's on the board too. But, you know, if I can push it a little bit and get a Jared Goff or a Brock Purdy instead, which, by the way, Brock Purdy, his contract makes him a safer asset in Dynasty than you might think, then that's what I'm going to do. But, you know, let's get right into it. Let's talk about these quarterback rankings, and let's kick it off with tier one. And look at that. The fancy graphics are back. Josh Allen is our quarterback one. Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, all in tier one, just like we said they would be. Is there anything to discuss here, or is this pretty cut and dry, Mr. Babich?
I think it's pretty cut and dry. We could have an exacerbated. I'm going to pretend I can say that word.
Not a masturbated argument. We might.
Well, yeah, that's what I was like. I actually don't know if I can fully pronounce this word. I'm sounding super smart for all of our listeners, but we could have a discussion around Jaden versus Lamar and Jaden versus Josh. Where exactly does he rank? I think that's the whole purpose of tiers. You know, if you're going to take Jaden at the 102 versus Lamar at the 102, I'm not going to sit there and say, are you an idiot? Lamar Jackson, the guy who's, you know, two-time MVP, and you're going to draft Jaden Daniels over him. Jaden's super young. There is a trend of carries, you know, going down as quarterbacks increase in age and longevity within the NFL. So you do have to think at 28 years old, you have to wonder at the very least, how many years of 800 plus rushing yards do we have from Lamar Jackson? But then again, we play in these 2 to 3 year windows in dynasty land to where you'd be stupid to tell somebody that they can't make a Lamar Jackson lineup work in this day and age. So I think we're good here.
Yeah. And you are defending my position for me because you actually have Lamar at 2. I have Lamar at 4. I'm the one who has Jaden Daniels at 2, but the way it shook out in our cumulative rankings, Jaden Daniels is 2, but this is another one of those conversations where if somebody came, like if we were doing a startup together and you said, I have to have Lamar here at pick number 2 over Jaden Daniels, I wouldn't fight you too hard on it, but I would prefer Jaden Daniels. They're all very close. So why don't we move on to tier 2? Maybe get some, this will probably be more of a discussion because I think this is maybe where it gets spicy for some people. So in tier 2, we have Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert. Now, the thing I will say about this tier and why Justin Herbert is in here, and again, for those people watching, listening, Matt Babich has very little to do with these tiers outside of ranking his players. I'm the one who puts these into the tiers for the Dynasty Roundtable. So it's very possible that Matt Babich completely disagrees with these tiers. But the reason why I put Justin Herbert in this tier is because we've seen him do it before. He does have a quarterback 2 season on his resume. He's in a fairly stable situation. He's entering year 2 with Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. And I think his weapons are better. And, you know, I think he has a similar type upside to a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow. All of these quarterbacks, what they have in common is they're good, they're in stable situations, and they're not going to run around as much as the elite options. So I'm not going to lie, this tier of quarterback, while I do like the idea of having the value, and if these quarterbacks are getting passed up in the startup and they get pushed down maybe to round 2, which is unlikely, then maybe I'll think about it. But honestly, this tier of quarterback is probably the least interesting to me, just given what is on the board at the time where we're picking and what I have to give up to get them. Because it's probably like, especially with Burrow and Mahomes, it's probably a mid first round startup pick is what we're talking about. And if I take one of them and the guy ahead of me takes Lamar or whatever, I feel right away that I'm at a disadvantage and I don't really have the picks to really, you know what I mean? Like the value, it's a good value pick because you know what you're getting. But in terms of upside, I don't know if it gives you the kind of advantage that you want. I get it. Burrow had a great year last year, but he's very dependent on throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah, he is. And that's what you get with, I mean, Herbert is a little bit more of a rusher. He's has not really, though, you know, two 220, 30 yard seasons, two 300 yard seasons. If I look up Mahomes real quick, it feels like on par about what Mahomes runs. Yeah, I mean, even Mahomes is generally running more often, three straight years, four straight years, five straight years over 300 rushing yards. He had three consecutive years in the middle there over 350. So Mahomes actually has a little bit more of the rushing stability than he may even be getting given credit for. And you give him another year in this offense where Rashee Rice comes back, Hollywood Brown has a full off season with that team, and Pacheco is back and healthy. We're going to have a lot more stability and success in the run game. There's a lot, and Xavier Worthy year two. So I think this Chiefs offense is an offense that it was kind of gross, not very fantasy friendly, which is not what we're used to with Mahomes. And if there's ever been a buy opportunity for him in the Kansas City Chiefs offense, it is right now with where Pacheco is valued, with where Rice is valued, Mahomes. It all feels like very ripe for the taking in terms of buying the Kansas City Chiefs offense. I want to thank you for ranking Herbert higher, because I went back through my rankings and I do think I putting him at 10, you have him at 7 for the record. I put him at 10, I think was a little bit of a stretch. I got to immediately move him up to 9 over Caleb Williams. Nix and May, I feel like, are right there. They just haven't done it yet necessarily. Like, Nix had an incredible year, didn't quite have like a QB7, QB2 performance in fantasy points per game like Herbert did to start his career. So there's more there. Equally good offenses, I think you can make the very easy argument that Herbert has better weapons in terms of fantasy football and explosive plays. We might give the edge to Sean Payton given what we saw last year. Drake May, obviously the Patriots offense is going to be a struggle. He's more of a long-term asset. So I think he deserves to be top 7-8 quarterback in terms of ranking. So thank you for making that fair assessment and for challenging me on my stance there. He's such a good thrower of the football. You look back to like his money throws and interceptable passes each year. He always ranks like pretty highly in money throws and pretty low in interceptable passes. And he passes the eye test, certainly, when you watch him. And he gets clowned on social media. But, man, talk about a quarterback that just has had brutal luck with coaching and supporting cast. And it's very easy to see an explosive season for Justin Herbert this year.
Yeah, I think another year in this offense, again, an offense that does not go at a high pace of play, albeit they were number 28 mm-hmm. in pace of play, but number 7 in deep ball attempts and number 13 in pass attempts. They draft Trey Harris, and they added Omarion Hampton in the running game. So the offense is going to have more firepower this year. And, you know, they're going to have to compete with, you know, they're going to have to keep up with Kansas City and Denver. And, you know, even Las Vegas has improved in that division. So I think that, you know, the AFC West could be a breeding ground for some shootouts this year. I'm going to throw up tier 3, and I called this tier the kind of unproven tier, or the unproven tier, because we have some, it's an interesting tier. So I'll just say it for the podcast audience. We have Caleb Williams at number, what would that be? 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. At 8. Drake May at 9. Bo Nix at 10. And CJ Stroud at 11. We do have some differences here. I have CJ Stroud at 8 above Caleb Williams. We both have Caleb Williams at 9. You have Drake May at 7. I have him at 11. And you're higher on Bo Nix than I am. You have him at 8. I have him at 10. And I would say that CJ Stroud, to me, at least he's proven it. You know, he did have a season. I think he was quarterback 11 in his rookie year, but quarterback 7 in fantasy points per game. And I think he has a Joe Burrow-ish type upside. I don't know if he's going to throw as many touchdown passes as Joe Burrow will throw in a season with Ja'Marr Chase, but he does have Nico Collins, and they did just draft, you know, two new wide receivers for him. Caleb Williams, he's going to have to show me. We've talked about Caleb Williams at nauseam on this channel. Ben Johnson and all the upgrades, it looks great, and he should be successful. And he's a number one overall pick. So there's a lot of value, and there's a lot of, he's going to hold his value pretty well, I think. Drake May is the one where I go, man, I know they drafted Kyle Williams, but you have Stephon Diggs coming in as a veteran. You have a defensive coach that I like in Mike Vrabel, but he's a defensive coach. 13 games of experience, albeit, in a bad situation. 15 touchdown passes. He was only the quarterback 24 in fantasy points per game, but we're going on intangibles. We're going on the draft capital that he got, and we're going on the fact that we think that, he can rush the ball. He's going to run around some. He's going to score some fantasy points with his legs. But Drake May, out of all of these, is probably the most unproven, which is why I have him at 11. But talk me into Drake May, because I know you said you're going to raise Justin Herbert up, but Drake May would be at 8. Like, if you put him at 7, then Drake May would be at 8. Or would you lower Drake May any further down?
That's what I was just thinking. I have bias with Drake May. I'm okay with admitting that. But when you look at the games where he started last year, the numbers are very skewed in terms of his full fantasy points per game. He's ranked, 24th among quarterbacks at 14.4. But that includes games of 8 attempts against the Jets, 6 attempts against the Jets, 1 attempt against Buffalo in week 18. I can't remember if he played the entire Chargers game. He got knocked out for a brief period. I think he may have came back and finished the game, but counting it anyway, it goes up to 15.8 fantasy points per game in just starts. And that is without really any scripted rushes coming from the offensive coordination. All or nearly all of Drake May's rushing yards were from scrambles last year. And despite that, finished top 10 in rushing yards, finished 7th in rushing yards per game. And based on how Player Profiler generally treats stats, that is including the games that he hardly played in. So you would imagine it probably goes up when you remove those games. Enter Josh McDaniels, someone who is actually a forward-thinking offensive coordinator. I get it. You can clown him all you want for his head coaching stints. He's not really a head coach, but he had success for numerous years in New England as an offensive coordinator. And he goes in with Vrabel, who, yes, is a defensive-minded coach, but they're bred within New England. Like, they know how to run a New England football team, I think, at least so far. There's been some questionable decisions from personnel management, but that's been happening since the Bill Belichick days and even into the dynasty run. If you can remember the years where we were rolling out Kenbrell Tompkins as our wide receiver one when Julian Edelman was playing corner, all of those years. Needless to say, the competency, even though the roster didn't improve vastly, Diggs and Kyle Williams are going to be big bonuses. You get Travion Henderson in the backfield to get a little bit more consistent in the backfield, a guy who can protect Drake May and be an asset in the air. Get in some actual designed runs, especially in the red zone. He was 37th among quarterbacks in red zone carries per game last year. All of these things are going to turn around for him. So it is projection. I'm going to be very openly admitted, and I will openly admit that. I'll openly admit there's some bias, but I think there was so much to like with how shitty that situation was in New England last year. The fact that he was putting up nearly 16 fantasy points per game and 32 rushing yards, per game without any scripted rushes or designed rushes, no red zone carries. I thought Drake May was going to perform way worse, and I would have to hear bust conversations all offseason because of the setup that he was drafted in. And I feel like he's not getting enough credit for even just looking competent as a rookie in that god-awful situation.
It's fair. And we're making the same argument for Caleb Williams, right? I mean, we thought he was in a good situation, but it turned out he wasn't. And it's funny, I just went to PFF, and the three quarterbacks, I just laughed when I saw this because I sorted it by passing, their passing grade. Justin Fields, Drake May, and Caleb Williams are ranked back to back to back, with Justin Fields slightly edging them out, 65.7 passing grade, Drake May 64.9, and Caleb Williams 63.5. And then it's Deshaun Watson at 63.4. So again, Caleb Williams, Drake May, they're going to hold their value even if they have a bad year, but they're in better situations now than they were. So we're projecting them to take a step, especially Caleb Williams. So, but let us know what you think of our tiers thus far. If you're liking this, click like and subscribe. We're going to move to tier four. And this is a situation where I just cannot quit Kyler Murray. I don't know what's going on. And obviously I remember the days where Kyler Murray was a first round startup pick, if you can believe that. Kyler Murray, we have in tier four, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, and Brock Purdy. So what are your thoughts on this tier? And do you agree with the tier, Mr. Babich?
I do, actually. I think Purdy is in the right spot here. I think Goff had a time where he could be in this tier. I think you factor in a little bit of age and just some natural degradation of the offensive firepower with the change in leadership. Purdy doesn't get enough credit. That San Francisco offense dealing without, you know, the injury of Christian McCaffrey was really tough. And you said it earlier in the show, his contract does give him a lot of stability there with remaining in San Francisco. They have weapons in terms of pass catchers. They have Ayuk, Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle. Again, they have McCaffrey in the backfield. The issue short term is, well, what happens if McCaffrey goes down again? Do they continue to struggle to find that second gear, that explosive gear that made Purdy such a high ceiling starter on a week to week basis? And when McCaffrey is, you know, done or not the guy he used to be, what's the backup plan? And it's weird that we're saying this about Kyle Shanahan, famously throw any back into the system. But even though the Garendos and the Jordan Masons are performing well in the stat sheet, these defenses are very clearly game planning towards, we're going to take the 1,000 paper cuts that you're going to give when you give, you know, Garendo 27 carries for 120 yards, but you're not going to get in the end zone. And that's what limits this team. So the running backs are always going to be fantasy relevant, but the absence of McCaffrey creates such a different paradigm of the offense that it limited their ceiling. So you can worry about what happens in that event. I'm not personally putting too much weight in it, but I bet there are a lot of people that took that last season's performance as a reason not to include Brock Purdy in the conversation of a Kyler Murray. But speaking of Kyler Murray, he scares me. I do like Kyler Murray. I have a love-hate relationship with him. I hate watching him play football. I love that at the end of the year, I'm like, wow, he actually performed pretty well in fantasy. The ceiling games aren't there like they used to be. It's kind of more on a consistency, how he gets to where he is. And it's an interesting dichotomy because sometimes you ask a Kyler Murray owner last year if they felt that he was a QB1. Do you feel like you got a QB1 every week when you had Kyler Murray in your lineup? I included, you're going to say no. You're going to say no, you didn't, because you're going to you watched him on red zone. The camera cuts to the Arizona versus Seattle Seahawks. It's 3rd and 11. You watch Kyler scramble and you're like, this is going to get picked. And it does. He goes back to 8 fantasy points on the game, somehow ends with 15. And it's the worst roller coaster ride you've ever been on. But at the end of the year, he gets that fantasy QB1 ranking. Look, his carries continue to go down. It's his designed rushes continue to go down. It doesn't seem to be a point of emphasis for their offensive staff to change this trend. And that's what worries me, is because I don't like what I see when I watch Kyler Murray as a passer. I like what I see as a rusher. But if that's going away and he becomes more of a pure passing volume guy, I have to be out. That being said, it does appear that they are going to make a point of emphasis on more motion pre-snap and play action, getting that more involved in the offense. And his numbers as a passer do look much better when that is involved. So there is that internal struggle. I have him a couple spots lower than you. You're at 12, I'm at 14. And unfortunately, when you put QB ranks together, it just feels like the right spot for him.
Yeah, this would be the tier that if I'm sitting at the back half of the first round and somebody, you know, because that's just where Patrick Mahomes is going to go, you know, like that's just somebody's going to draft him there, maybe early second round at the very latest. This would be the tier of quarterbacks that I would look to target, because I'll just throw out some stats to you. Okay. The last two seasons, Brock Purdy has played in 15 and 16 games. He ranked last season number 10 in fantasy points per game at 18.6. And the year before that, he was number 6 in fantasy points per game. And last year, like you said, he didn't have McCaffrey. He should have McCaffrey this year, and that should help out quite a bit. Kyler Murray, 18.1 and 18.9. He was 12th in fantasy points per game last year. It didn't feel like it, but he was technically a quarterback one, and he had a relatively low number of passing touchdowns, only 21 passing touchdowns. That was the lowest mark of his career when he's played at least 12 games since his rookie season. So you would think, like, touchdown, you know, the touchdown regression or the touchdown should come back to maybe the mid-20s, and that should help out his fantasy production. Baker Mayfield, 22.5 fantasy points per game. He threw 41 touchdowns. I have to imagine that that's probably going to come back to earth. But I would imagine it's safe to put him, to project him to be maybe the quarterback 10 to 14 in that range. I think that's fair, especially with the weaponry that he has. And Patrick Mahomes, the last two seasons, 11th and 10th in fantasy points per game. And
talk about not like he's feeling it. He was 11th in fantasy points per game last year. The way people were talking about him, you would have thought that he finished with like 3,500 passing yards.
Yeah, and he's one of those players where, you know, if we think about these players as stocks, which they basically are, I know some people hate that term, you know, getting shares of people, but, you know, these are terms that we use in fantasy football. Patrick Mahomes is like an overvalued stock right now. And if I can trade him and get something on top of Baker Mayfield, because it just feels like Baker Mayfield, it's like, oh, Baker Mayfield must be ancient. You know, he's been in the league forever. Patrick Mahomes is 29 and Baker Mayfield's 30. I mean, these guys played in college against each other. Like, they're not that different of a quarterback. And the situation, honestly, I know Liam Cohen's gone from Tampa Bay, and I know Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid, but look at the weapons that Baker Mayfield has, and they added more with Emeka Egbuka in the first round. And you go, there's not much difference between these two guys, and they're valued so far apart. I think this is how you do it in fantasy football and dynasty. But again, there is something to be said for the value, and we do preach value. So you're definitely going to get a significant amount on top of, you know, Baker Mayfield or Brock Purdy in exchange for Patrick Mahomes, but the production isn't that much different. Just isn't.
Yeah, we can rename tier 4 the ugliest top 5 weekly upside you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But or at least think top about 10. If you push quarterback in a super flex league, and let's say you're at the back half of the draft and you come out to one of your turns and you double tap like Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, or Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, any combination of two of those four quarterbacks, that sounds like a really good draft to me, especially if you take even maybe a guy like Baker and Purdy, who like Baker, for some reason, continues to get discounted because of offensive coordinators leaving and perceived age, and Purdy because of, you know, him being a, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. I think people are still trying to get over the fact that he probably should have been like a second round pick, you know, something like that. First round pick, even with the way he's been playing, he went to a Super Bowl. If you got Baker and Purdy in a super flex draft in, you know, mid-ish rounds, and you built a gauntlet of a starting lineup with depth above you, man, the sky is the limit in terms of what you can do with a team like that.
And one last point I'll make, and people may say, well, the stability of Patrick Mahomes, you know, which, you know, he's going to be with the Chiefs for his entire career with Andy Reid. Let me just list you. We know Brock Purdy, we talked about his contract, but realistically, he's going to be on the 49ers until through the 2029 season with that dead cap, for sure through the 2028 season, because the dead cap hit in 2028 is $38.65 million. The dead cap in 2029 is $23.1 million, so likely they're not going to cut him for that unless he's just truly god-awful, which I don't see happening with Kyle Shanahan. And then in 2030, it does bump down to $7.55 million for a dead cap. But legitimately, he's a locked-in starting quarterback with a good offensive play caller for the next 5 years. Well, what about Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield is a locked-in quarterback for the next two seasons with Tampa Bay, and then he has three void years on the end of that. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2027. So I'm not a cap expert. I don't pretend to know these void years, but you really think that Baker Mayfield, the way he's playing, is not a top 20 quarterback in the NFL, and that some team is just, you know, not going to give him another Sam Darnold plus type contract or more? Like, that's going to happen. And so these guys are more stable assets, especially Purdy, who I do have ranked over Baker Mayfield for that reason. So you get the stability, you get the coach with Brock Purdy, you get basically the same situation. It's just way cheaper. You know, he just doesn't have the sex appeal of a Patrick Mahomes. So, and Jordan Love too. I know we kind of neglected to mention him. 19.4 fantasy points per game in 2023. He was a top five option. So I know he was one of your sells, but he's 26 years old. I'm not the biggest fan. Let's see, where do I have Jordan Love? I have Jordan Love at 14. You have him at 13. So he's right in the middle there for us in terms of, like, you know, the top 30. But he does have top 10 upside as well at the position with a good play caller at head coach, despite me really not liking him all that much. So any final thoughts on this tier before we move to tier 5?
Yeah, I think based on my ranking of Jordan Love, I'm probably back to at least a hold. I do still think he's a good tier down option, but
gotcha. We will move to tier 5. Jared Goff is up next. Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, JJ McCarthy. This is kind of the, I don't want to say bland and boring because JJ McCarthy's in there, but this is kind of, you know, people are kind of fed up with Trevor Lawrence. Jared Goff is kind of boring. Dak Prescott, I think, is very underrated. And I think JJ McCarthy has a lot of upside. So I do like this tier of quarterbacks as well. I had to lower Jared Goff just because Ben Johnson is gone. Trevor Lawrence, I know you ranked him at 16. I still have him at 20. I'll have to see. That might be too low. I might be too low on Trevor Lawrence. But talk to me about this tier for a minute.
You can call this maybe like the one man's trash tier, where Goff is boring, but hey, he's still going to be, even without Ben Johnson, like, I don't think he's going to have another QB7 season, but QB14, I think he was the year before. Yeah, QB11, QB14 the year before that. Right around that range is still very doable for him in that offense. There's still weapons. Like, we can go. It does mean something that Ben Johnson's gone, but Dave Canales to Liam Cohen. And you know, we still believe that, I'm blanking on the name, but the Liam Cohen replacement will be suitable for creating fantasy points in Tampa Bay. And so I want to be careful not to overvalue that change in Detroit. Dak Prescott, fully agreed. I completely believe he is underrated as well. The national spotlight in Dallas really doesn't do him any wonders. He has two seasons within the past 4 years, four seasons within the past 6 years of 20-plus fantasy points per game. He has done it. He has a history of production. And now you add in George Pickens, who I've talked about, Josh Gizzard. That's the Gizzard from Lizard. He's from like Lizard Lick, Louisiana or something like that. Thank you, Seth, for lobbing that up in the private chat for me to see. How could I forget the Gizzard from Lizard? That is an incredible thing for me to forget. But back to Dak Prescott, George Pickens in that lineup. We talked about how good that could be for the Cowboys offense. It certainly can't be a downgrade going from Brandon Cooks as your wide receiver to George Pickens. And Dak Prescott coming back healthy. We'll talk about this in another video, but I actually think Jake Ferguson's underrated as well as a pass catcher. I think that whole Cowboys offense could be pretty underrated. And then McCarthy is kind of the wild card of the group, where he still has a bunch of insulated value because he's the starting quarterback of the Vikings. He had that first round pedigree. I think there's just a little bit of apprehension in terms of having an injured first season. You're like a rookie unknown, but everyone views you as a sophomore. So it's not really fair to JJ McCarthy to have some sort of mental block, but it is a little strange with all of his classmates and Caleb Williams and Drake May and Bo Nix. They've given us that year. We've seen something. With JJ, we've still seen absolutely nothing besides preseason snaps. So it is scary. I think he's right to be at the end of this tier, but I still have a lot of hope for JJ McCarthy as someone who I did say, a lot of hateful things towards him, but it was mostly because I thought he was way overvalued. Now I think towards his injury, he was properly valued, and maybe now he might be a little bit undervalued.
Yeah, I think JJ McCarthy is underrated. JJ McCarthy, for me, I have him at 16. You have him at 21. I just think Kevin O'Connell factor, if he can do what he did with Sam Darnold this year, I think JJ McCarthy with all of those weapons in Minnesota, I think it's going to be a really good season for him. So you're projecting forward. It's possible he could stink, but I believe in JJ McCarthy. Again, I think even further down in this tier, I know Trevor Lawrence had an absolutely abysmal year that resulted in him only playing 10 games last season. But Liam Cohen comes in, they add Travis Hunter. I think that there's a chance that, he might not be a top 10 option, but could he sneak into the back end of quarterback one because like the top 12, because that's what he basically did in 2022 and 2023. But people were expecting him to be, the second coming of Peyton Manning, which is his best comparable player on Player Profiler. He's still only 25 years old. And I have a hard time believing, and this is basically, I'm talking myself into, I have Trevor Lawrence too low. Basically, I have a hard time believing that if somehow this situation in Jacksonville blows up, that he wouldn't get a second opportunity somewhere, because every number one pick seemingly gets that second opportunity. So I'm in on Trevor Lawrence too as a buy. And Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott has been injured. Like, he's dealt with his fair share of injuries. That's true. Including last year, he will be coming off of an injury, but there's no doubt that he at 31, going to be 32 years old, still has a lot of juice left in the tank. Playing on a team that's going to be in a tough division, there's a lot of upside there. There could be some shootouts in the NFC East too. And then Jared Goff's just a stable option. And I lowered him down because of the offensive coordinator, as I mentioned, I think before. Let's move to tier number six, and there's only two more tiers left. So Bryce Young, Cam Ward, Michael Penix, and Tua Tagovailoa. Talk to me about Cam Ward, because I have come around on Cam Ward. This is our biggest difference or disagreement here. I have him at 17. You have him at 23. I think the number one overall pick, the stability that comes with that, is really good. We've talked all offseason about how this situation in Tennessee is a little bit better than people give it credit for with an offensive-minded head coach. He does have Calvin Ridley. It's not great, but it's not the worst situation anybody's been thrown into. And I think Cam Ward has a good head on his shoulders and is basically the opposite of Shedeur Sanders. Let's just put it that way. I think he's a dog. He might not have the most physical gifts out of any prospect that we've seen come into the league, but I think he's going to be capable. He's going to have his ups and downs. Talk to me about Cam Ward, because I think he's going to hold his value, just like a lot of these other number one picks have held their value, but he's not getting treated like those past number one picks. So talk to me about Cam Ward for a second.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to what we said for months, but going into this draft, we just don't see Cam Ward as an elite option. And if you've changed your mind on that, I would really want to hear what throughout the draft process or the post-draft process has made you change your mind and think that Cam Ward has this, elite potential. And I get the stability of it, but on a neutral playing field, if I approach the game from a neutral mindset, if I'm doing a startup draft and I get to this tier five, tier six of quarterback, I have a specific game plan that I have, and it probably does not involve drafting Cam Ward. I'm either going to draft the Jared Goff, the Dak Prescott. If I want to go young here, I'm going to take JJ McCarthy. Maybe Michael Penix. Like, he did have, there's something on tape there. He's in a very good situation in what they have going in Atlanta, and on that offense, he has weapons much more so than Cam Ward. He has stability as a first round pick, and the guy that they signed Kirk Cousins, and then they drafted Michael Penix. So there is there's still a lot of stability there with Penix. There's a lot of stability with JJ McCarthy. I think there's stability with Bryce Young as well. And we're talking about the QB8 after the bye last week in fantasy points per game in Bryce Young, who has a coach who's all in on him. They go out and they get Teteroa McMillan with a top 10 pick. They give him a wide receiver one to work with. You start looking at, Thielen, who's old, but still at least worth something as a role player. You have Jalen Coker. It's not the friendliest receiver room. Xavier Leggett going into year two. It's not the highest powered receiver room, but it is certainly improved. I think it's on par with what Cam Ward is working with. I think Cam and the Tennessee Titans have a stronger run game and a better defense. But Carolina's defense also much improved. They're going to be better next year. I just think there's a lot of different routes that I can go at the quarterback position. And I think Cam Ward, look, hand up. I did the same thing with the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud tier, where I was a little bit of afraid to value them in the mid-teens. But Cam Ward could do the same thing and have a really good rookie year, blow expectations out of the water, and I could be the one behind on things. But I see Trevor Lawrence as a massive riser, Bryce Young as a riser, Penix and McCarthy as risers, and we have stable veterans, or at least relatively in terms of their production when they're on the field, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Tua, all with risks and age involved. I just don't think Cam Ward shines above that group in any sort of methodology that I would go with in a startup mindset or a neutral mindset.
Fair enough. And I will give you, I can agree and disagree at the same time. I agree that, like, Cam Ward, the reason I'm higher on him is because of the value that he brings to the table. And I think there's a real case that you can make that he should be the 102 or the 103 in a super flex rookie draft right now. I think that you can make a solid argument for it just based on if you're just purely drafting for value. And I think it's so interesting that him and Bryce Young are valued around the same place, because I think both are buys at their current price. Because you want to guess, I was doing some math as you were talking about Bryce Young, because I remember, you remember the last half of last year, Bryce Young got benched. I think that was early in the season. came back in week five and he still wasn't very good, but something clicked toward the back half of the season, that Chiefs game in week 12. If you go from week 12 to week 17, you want to guess how many fantasy points, and I'm not even including the week 18 game where he was the number one quarterback on the week and scored 36.4 fantasy points. You want to take a guess how many fantasy points Bryce Young averaged in weeks 12 through 17, which those are some money weeks in fantasy football. Oh, you're muted. We did it. It took us a while.
I've gone so many shows, and I mute myself after I talk every single time, or almost every single time. I've gone so many shows without doing that. But I'm going to say about 17 fantasy points per game. I was looking through his numbers before we got to this tier, so I know, you know, roughly where it is, 17, 18.
18.6.
Yep.
Which is puts him in the range of being a top 10 quarterback if you could extrapolate that out for a full season. And he has Tedrone McMillan this year as a primary weapon, and another year with Dave Canales in that system. So I'm buying Bryce Young. I'm buying Cam Ward. Michael Penix, he's going to have to prove it to me, so I have him a little bit lower. And Tua, just not much upside from a rushing perspective. Let's get in tier seven. Let's sneak it in maybe at before the hour mark. We'll see what happens. So no promises. Because Anthony Richardson is in this tier. We have Anthony Richardson, Jackson Dart, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford, and Russell Wilson. And I think the most polarizing name now in this tier that some people might get mad about is Anthony Richardson. And we've kind of talked about him on a previous episode. So if you want to go check that out, go for it. There's an in-depth conversation about what to do with Anthony Richardson right now. I think Matt's more of a hold. I'm more of a buy at his current price. But the clear observation is going to be, well, Justin Fields can give me something now. He's going to be a starting quarterback for the Jets right now. Anthony Richardson might not even be the starter for the Colts. So, you know, I suppose there's an argument to be made that Justin Fields should be higher. I still struggle with the long-term aspects of Justin Fields. People are trying to talk themselves into him being a starting quarterback in the NFL. And he's like a shooting star, man. He's going to give you good fantasy production. And to be fair, I don't think there's much behind him. Well, actually, there is. Tyrod Taylor's there, I believe, in New York. So
Tyrod Taylor, massive buy in Dynasty. So, I'm dead serious. Yeah. If you're in a large roster league, Daniel Jones is rostered and in a commodity right now with Anthony Richardson. We don't want to because he doesn't have long stints of starting, but. Remember not too long ago when he was like the fantasy saving grace for the New York Giants going down the stretch when he came in relief for like Tommy DeVito in those days. I think he still has it, and he has that rushing ability, obviously not with Justin Fields, but he can scramble, get out of the pocket. But with Fields and Richardson, like I think you hit the nail on the head where it's, they can offer you something. Richardson is who knows. We've talked about how it might be better for him to not start the season, kind of like a Bryce Young, just take a step back. But the question is he going to take that step? It seems like Bryce Young made that step, became that leader, you know, took that leap. Is Anthony Richardson going to have that moment? It feels like it's got to happen this year. If he's going to have that moment, it has to happen this year. Fields doesn't have a lot of long-term potential. He may not even start all 17 games in New York. Dart's probably the most underrated guy here in terms of his youth and being on a team that has a fair amount of weapons. Also a guy named Malik Nabers and a decently healthy backfield and a trio of Tracy and Scataboo and Singletary that can surely be productive, maybe not going to blow you away, but they're going to be productive. If there can be some stability there in Dable, you think with getting a guy like Dart, if there's any sort of competency in year one, there's going to be an extension or at least a short-term extension with Brian Dable. So I think he could be a big riser. I think he could be the quarterback that surprises everybody, the Bo Nix maybe of this class, if there is going to be one. And yeah, the rest of the guys I don't think are super noteworthy. They're older veterans with shorter shelf lives that, you know, deserve kind of to be near the bottom, but in the top 30 because they are starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that this is the tier that you would target if you need a quarterback two or like if you need ideally a quarterback three, ideally three. Actually a quarterback four.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody gets hurt, like this is the tier that you're trading for. You know, if you're just looking for a replacement, I guess Aaron Rodgers would enter the conversation here too, but he just wasn't very effective last season from a fantasy perspective. And I don't know if he's going to be much better this year, a year older with the Steelers. You know, the upside with Anthony Richardson, just to talk about that briefly, I get it. The shoulder is concerning and I wouldn't necessarily blame you if you wanted to get off of him. And there's definitely a scenario where it plays out much like Trey Lance, right? Where we had this top five pick in the NFL draft and it just never works out for whatever reason. That's definitely on the table. But in Dynasty, what I like to do is to lean into the uncertainty and to take some risks. Anthony Richardson is a massive risk, but I won't even really say that. He's a risk, definitely. But at this price, I mean, in the same tier that we have him, you know, in the same realm as Justin Fields or Sam Darnold or Geno Smith and all of those guys, I'm sorry to say, I know that they sign contracts and I know that there's some guaranteed money with those contracts, but all those guys could be playing on different teams next year, depending on how this season shakes out. So again, this is the tier that you're targeting for a short-term fix. It's not a long-term solution. The one name in this tier that I'm super intrigued by that I still think has a lot of upside is Anthony Richardson and also Jackson Dart. I'm intrigued by as well. I think he's super cheap, so I'm in on Jackson Dart, and I would probably prefer those two guys just based on the upside swing. If I'm a rebuilding team, I want Anthony Richardson and Jackson Dart. If I'm a competitive veteran laden team that's looking to win now, yeah, sure, I'll lean into the veterans to give me some immediate production, because there's no doubt Justin Fields is going to give you some immediate production. Like, I'm not saying he won't, but just as a long-term asset, I don't buy him. So any final thoughts on this quarterback, as we're right about an hour, maybe we recap the full 1 through 30 for the podcast audience.
Yeah. I'll say one last thing on Anthony Richardson and then recap real quick. Just look at his game log. I know it's not great, but except for a bad stretch, you know, for the first few weeks of the season, when Anthony Richardson starts, he basically is a lock for 15 plus fantasy points. So it might be gross, but if you take him, especially in a startup, in those later rounds, if he falls, you're going to have a trade commodity at some point in the year. So there's that to think about as well. Like, there probably, it sounds gross, but there probably is going to be a trade window, a value window for Anthony Richardson at some point this regular season if he is healthy with his shoulder. To recap, tier one, we have Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. Tier two, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. Tier three, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Bo Nix, CJ Stroud. Tier four, Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy. In tier five, we have Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, JJ McCarthy. Tier six, Bryce Young, Cam Ward, Michael Penix, Tua Tagovailoa. And tier seven, Anthony Richardson, Jackson Dart, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson.
All right. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you liked what you saw. Click the like button. That helps us out quite a bit. Go follow the show on Twitter at FF Dynasty Table. Go follow Matt Babich at Babich_Matt10. And you can follow me if you want to. I'm going to try to do Twitter again because I was in a good groove last summer. So I'm going to try to dive in and give some people some good information on Twitter. So go follow me on Twitter at Seth_DIEWOLD. Any final words of wisdom before we wrap up the show tonight?
No, I think I'm all tapped out of wisdom today. I got to start thinking of like what I want to say during the, cause you always ask me for like any other words of wisdom. And I feel pretty wisdomless in those moments. I'm not going to lie.
I feel a little contrarian is what I feel.
Oh,
a little contrarian. Is I feel contrarian on Anthony Richardson. I feel the people coming after me with the still being in on Anthony Richardson. I'm still clinging on to dear life, so I'm still buying him. So I don't know if does that make me a contrarian on Anthony Richardson?
I think it does, but I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm gonna have to challenge you.
Why?
I want you to show me a roster that has Anthony Richardson on it that you have.
Oh, I could show you one. I just have to pull it
up. Have you bought Anthony Richardson this offseason?
Not this offseason, but like right before the season ended, I did.
Let's go live and let's do a live stream. And the live stream, we will go live until Seth makes a trade for Anthony Richardson.
Now we're cooking. That's good content right there.
We'll cook up the trades live. If it takes 24 hours, well, we're going to be here. We'll draft some underdog teams.
Yeah. Or maybe anti-Patrick Mahomes, contrarian shades. That's probably a bit hotter, you know. I'd rather have Baker Mayfield plus than Patrick Mahomes, or Brock Purdy plus than Patrick Mahomes. Significant plus. You get a significant plus.
I don't think I'd rather do that. I mean, it depends on the team structure. I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to open that. I'm not going to open that can of worms.
I get the
ideology that you're going for, and I don't think I'm all in on it. I don't think you're wrong that there's situations where you should trade Patrick Mahomes for Brock Purdy plus. But at face value, what you're saying is you just don't think they're that different. And I think that top five Patrick Mahomes is coming back soon. I don't think that. I think you're foolish to think those days are over. And that's coming from somebody who's a Brady fan and wants him to fail every single time he steps out onto the field. And I'm saying that.
You want Patrick Mahomes to fail?
Yeah,
you want Patrick Mahomes to fail?
Why? I don't want to see new greatness. I don't want to see new greatness. I want my greatness to be the greatest forever.
All right. Wow.
I grew up a Bulls fan, Seth. You shouldn't be shocked that this is my philosophy.
How can you be a Bulls fan and a Patriots fan? Because you're from Illinois. You're taking the best of both worlds. You only get one, okay? You only get one elite dynasty.
I was 7 years old. I was playing my brother in Madden. I had no concept of a bandwagon. I did not know what I was doing. He told me to play with the Patriots because I was throwing a little fit because I wanted to play with the Bears, but he wanted to play with the Bears. He told me to play with the Patriots. He let me win because he knew I was a little kid. I was a little twerp. I was going to throw a fit if I didn't win. And so he let me win, and I got so happy that I won that I became a Patriots fan.
Now you know, folks. Now you know. And click the like button, subscribe. Let us know your contrarian takes. What are you putting on the contrarian shades for? And I'll leave it at that, all right? So nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Nobody cares. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.